Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia! Happy Game 7, Father's Day Sunday. I know it's nerve-wracking. I know it's tight butt, edge-of-your-seat, anxiety-ridden day today. But the Sixers are playing in a Game 7 at home, and it's damn exciting. Time to finish these coward Hawks off and go to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the Milwaukee Bucks. Happy Father's Day to all out there. Welcome in. The Tunis is out in Colorado at a wedding, probably in some kind of smoky haze. In with me today, though, is my partner in the morning, Pat Egan. Happy Game 7 Sunday.
Hello.
I can't wait. I want to see Hawk blood on the court tonight. I want a massacre. I want Trae Young to struggle. I want John Collins to throw bricks off the glass all night. I want it all. I want Atlanta pain, and I want to be hosting Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals this week. Let's freaking go, Sixers. You can right the wrongs of Games 3 and Games 4, or Game 4 and Game 5, and finish this. And do the right thing. Finish them off. Don't come out looking like whatever the hell Joel Embiid was came out looking like. Ben Simmons disappeared. He's mentally gone from this team. Tyrese Maxey slapped him down on the table and said, "Get on my back, boys. We're going to Game 7.
I love when your 20-year-old rookie just says, "Yeah, I got this."
Yeah, kids, he's fearless.
He's got onions. You pretty much said everything that I was thinking. I'll add to it that you can just forget all about the collapses if you win. All of a sudden, the collapses become something that we laugh about.
A hurdle.
Yeah. We just go, oh, remember that time where they blew a 26-point lead? That was fun.
That was nothing.
There's no excuse. You're at home. You're 6-point favorites for a reason. Joel Embiid played, I don't want to say a bad game, but he played a weird game. The whole team played a weird game in Game 6. They didn't play well. They didn't get to the line at all, and yet they found a way to do it. And I sat there saying, okay, this is what good teams do. They find ways to win. This team's good. We all know that I think on paper they're more talented than the Hawks. The Hawks are a gritty team. They're cute. They're like that fly in your house that you can't kill. Like, you need to just smack it away.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of it.
Courtesy of Bob Vitrone Jr., best NBA Game 7 home record since 1969 with a minimum of 4 games. 4-0, your Philadelphia 76ers. Let's freaking go. It's Joel Embiid had a post in the offseason with his son that was really, he tugged on the heartstrings, and it was, I want my son to be better. I want my son, you know, to realize his father was a champion and one of the best ever to do it. It's Father's Day. That man's going to come out possessed tonight. I feel a special Joel game coming. I can't say anything about Ben Simmons in that regard. Toby, I think, is going to answer the call. Tyrese Maxey has earned more playing time. Let's go.
I actually think Ben Simmons shows up today. I think he tried to show up in Game 6, and the refs called every ticky-tack call.
He's lost out there.
I it's probably that Billy Mumphrey, you know, cockeyed optimist in me, but I really do think that he shows up.
I hope.
I couldn't believe the calls that were going against him.
It was crap
in Game 6, and it kind of neutralized his game.
You know what the one was that gave me like kind of chills? It was a long rebound off the free throw or missed shot over in the corner. The Hawks guy had it.
Yeah,
he walked up and kind of just like pushed him in the back, and it reminded me of Robert Covington in the Celtics series when he was fouling to get off the floor.
Why would you say that?
Because that's what it reminded me.
Why would you remind me of that?
That's troubling.
Don't remind me of that.
Didn't it look like he wanted off the court?
It looked like, to me at least, I didn't get that sense.
I had flashbacks.
It looked like a guy that was trying to play defense, and albeit letter of the law that is a foul, but was thinking there's no way they're going to call this. And they called it. I mean, this is a guy that, let's be real, should have won Defensive Player of the Year.
Sure.
And he was getting the ticky-tack call. I just think that really hindered his game in Game 6. I hope he's not checked out, because you're not winning crap
if he is checked out for an entire, not even just today. I mean, say they win today, but you're not winning anything if he's checked out next series, they need him.
Yeah, well.
He's frustrating, but they need him. We all know
it. Sure. Last night was a great overtime game between the Bucks and the Nets, and the super team Nets, minus a Kyrie Irving and a one-legged James Harden, go down. Kevin Durant is a spectacular, terrifying basketball player, and I'm happy that the Sixers potentially won't have to see him. I think the better option came out, and that's Milwaukee moving on. Milwaukee's, you know, a very good team, but I think the Sixers can match up well against them. So the door and the landscape for the road to the NBA Finals has been laid out in front of you. I mean, the Western Conference Finals are starting today, and Chris Paul's not even in it.
Dude, how insane. Like, who scheduled this?
I don't know. I guess
two games in the Western Conference Finals before the Eastern Conference Finals even starts?
Yeah, and why is the Eastern Semis not even wrapped up and the Western Conference Finals are starting?
Because all I can think of, and this is, you know, this is one of the points from 2001 that always runs through my brain, is how many days off the Lakers had. And the Lakers aren't going to have, I think the Lakers had 12 days off in between games to start the finals. They're not going to have 12 games off, but like the amount of rest that the West is getting is because of this is insane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know why they're not pushing this to like Tuesday or something. So yeah, and I also, look, I understand the Sixers game 7 prime time, they want them, but 3:30 start and then an 8 o'clock start. Come on, man.
I'm not a fan of that.
It's ridiculous. Do like a 3:30 and a 6:30, a 3:30 and a 7, an 8. Like, come on.
Why not a 4:25?
Yeah, just give me something.
3:15.
I love day sports. It reminds me of football Sundays.
I don't.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Why do you say that? Personal feelings.
So Friday night was, you know, the Tyrese Maxey game. I guess we were all witness to that. Kid came out and actually got a three stolen away from him on a garbage Dwight Howard foul call. Dwight Howard is now kind of at a point where you're like,
does he know his own strength?
No, I don't think he does. He's got rock hands, too.
Like, it's so frustrating because he throws guys around and look, I mean, it might be a foul the other way or whatever, but the way he does it is in a way where you have to call him because it's so vicious.
His shoulders are massive.
Yeah, like, dude, how do you not just chill?
He looks stronger than everyone else. And I think it happens that way. He's at a point, though, where I think it's extremely limited run. Really, all he's bringing you is some boarding. I wouldn't mind seeing a little more Ben play the five today and maybe Maxey or Shake up top with George Hill in Joel's absence. I wouldn't mind seeing a little of that. I think as good as Maxey was, though, on Friday night, I still think you stick with Furkan in the starting role and allow Maxey to come in kind of off that bench, natural position there, and just go with what worked on Friday night and let the kid try to shine with the second unit again, and hopefully he can give you, you know, I'm not asking for what he gave us Friday night, but hopefully he can give you that spark that this team seems to respond to.
It would be nice, for sure. I don't know, man. I'm so out on Furkan just because he hasn't really given you anything the past two games, but it's hard to argue that what worked. I don't even care. This is kind of how I felt about after the Shake Milton game. I don't care if it's Shake.
I don't care who it is. Somebody step Maxey, up.
But someone needs to step up. I mean, all you hear about from this going into this playoff was the Sixers' depth, and for good reason. You looked at their bench and you went, okay, there's a reason to get excited about how deep this team is compared to some of the other teams, i.e., Brooklyn. And then, you know, some of those games there, the bench just struggled. They couldn't get any points going, and they had to be saved by a Shake or saved by a I mean, you're going to need one of those two guys to step up. It doesn't matter who it is, but one of those guys. It should be Maxey first off the bench because of what he gave you in game 6. But, you know, I mean, Doc has to have a good pulse on this team tonight of who's got it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't afford to stick with a Furkan because, you know, he's your best quote-unquote option out there if he's not giving you anything.
There is certainly some pressure on Doc Rivers' shoulders tonight. As you said, what, a 6.5-point favorite? I haven't looked this morning. At home, game 7, you know, if you listen to the John Kincaid Morning Show Friday, I went through and I have it. I don't even want to bring it up today because that's a negative thing and we're
don't
only positive
it.
Thoughts
don't
today.
Do it.
But there is some pressure on Doc Rivers' shoulders. He's had, of course, you know, an NBA title, which very few coaches get, but there's been a lot of let down also throughout his career, let's call it, and includes blown leads, blown series leads. You know, I would have to think that being a home favorite in a game seven by such a large margin, if that was to come up short, would be another one tacked to that failure aspect of his resume.
Absolutely.
So I think there's a lot of pressure on him tonight to be great and to outcoach Nate McMillan, and we'll see what happens. You know, I said on Friday, Ben Simmons has made Doc Rivers' job much tougher than it should be. Much tougher.
Yeah, he has. I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, I was getting texts last night from a family member who just on the outside is watching the Sixers a little bit, basically about how Ben Simmons needs to go. And at this point, it's kind of hard to... I mean, if you were just watching the series, like those thoughts have crept into my head of like how much longer am I going to sit here and watch this? And I don't know if you saw the video that's circulating about Ben Simmons in Summer League from, I think, his first ever Summer League. He's shooting. Like, I don't know what the hell happened.
I remember those games.
He was shooting
all over the court.
What the... Like, was this analytically driven where
effectively, too.
Yeah. I don't know if it was analytically driven where... And I could totally see that where he came in and, you know, the analytic nerds were like, well, Ben, that's not your shot. That's not your... So you're getting this and you need to... Like, but something happened and it flipped a switch in him. And we all know... And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying this, but he's a little mentally fragile.
Oh, that's, I mean, definitely his, you know, it's I hate crutch. To talk about another man's mental state, but I feel 100% confident.
Oh, I can say, because I'm a mental soy boy. I mean, I am as mentally fragile as it gets.
Whatever is going on with him is between the ears.
It's 100%.
Sure, he might be right-handed and might be shooting with his offhand. I think he is. For whatever reason, he's been shooting long enough lefty now that he should probably be a little better at it. But it's all between the ears. He knows that. He's seen a sports psychologist dating back, I think, starting a year ago before COVID. So it's something he's attempting to work on. But I'm also at the point now where I don't think we'll ever see it here.
Yeah, and I'm kind of there, too. I mean, I was watching Game 7 yesterday, and I texted Devon Gibbons, who will be on for the pregame show.
Yeah, and in the post, I assume, right?
No, I'm in the post.
You're in the post.
Yeah, you get me. I was called up from Scranton.
I'm going to post you up.
Yeah, it won't be that hard. they decided to get the shortest guy in the world to talk basketball. So, but I was talking, I was texting him, and I went, you know, I just had this thought, and a lot of people driving out there are going to be screaming at the radio, yeah, no crap. But it dawned on me yesterday that if Ben Simmons just had that Kobe mentality, a little more aggressive, he would be Giannis. Yeah, he would have that ability because Giannis doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
That he misses foul shots. He doesn't
airballed
care.
One last night
after 17 seconds of waiting for it. He doesn't care that he takes free throws and field goals, and he's not good at it. He just attacks. And watching the two, you know, Ben Simmons is better defensively, but I'm sitting there going, man, like this is what you could have if the guy was just mentally stronger.
Defensive capabilities are great, and you know we've talked about it. He's defensive player of the year. He can guard 1 through 5. He's rare. Yada yada yada. You don't need max players to be your best defenders. You know, there's Bruce Bowens of the world that got by just fine being all NBA first defensive team for many years. That wasn't making $185 million, and you know, I don't care what athletes make, but you only get 3 max slots. And Toby and Ben were a main reason in games 4 and 5 that we are in the situation that there is even a game 7. So it's hard not to take it into consideration. I hope we see a strong Ben game. I have no confidence in the world to say that whatsoever. And a lot of people have turned on him.
Oh, a lot of people turned away before this.
Oh, yeah. But like those, like me, I defended him for many, many years. Yeah, like even I can't, I'm done. You know, like,
I'm willing to give it another year.
I am too.
And that's mainly just out of hope that maybe a regular-ish offseason he can dock in his staff. But, I mean, we're putting
this is a conversation for another
day. Yeah, we're putting the cart before the horse
But that's where you mentally go after seeing these last 3 games from him. Unfortunately, you know, I wish we weren't having that conversation.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to after these last 3 games.
And we started this conversation because of the fact of you need him in game 7. Like, you need him to show
he's
up.
He's essential.
Because I don't want to go through a situation where you're not getting anything from him offensively and it's all on Toby and Ben and Ben, hey, I'm sorry, Toby and
Sixer
Joe.
Sixer legend Seth Curry also.
But like, okay.
That guy is a...
And he's been incredible.
He's been phenomenal.
But you're banking on, if it's those 3 guys, you're then banking on somebody off the bench giving you what what Tyrese Maxey gave you or Shake Milton gave you a couple games
ago.
Yeah,
that's 16, you know, and performance. Should have been 19.
It's tough for me to go, okay, you're going to get that again. I can see it happening, but I don't have the confidence that you'll get all of that.
I've said to myself a couple times now, they can't keep relying on Seth Curry. He's going to have an off night, and he just hasn't. He's been...
Is he the greatest Curry brother of all time? 6'10", 6'3", 2.
This is a topic for another day, but I honestly think he might have been one of the better trades in Philadelphia recent sports history.
Man, I was sitting there watching
Game 6.
He's
two more years for $24 million. It's a great contract.
Watching Game 6, and I'm like, man, I can't believe they traded Josh frickin' Richardson.
I had this same conversation with my cousin Tim yesterday. We were going golfing for Father's Day, and I went, what the hell was Dallas thinking? Like, I know they wanted a little more defense, but we got Seth Curry for Josh Richardson?
Like, that Josh Richardson couldn't get any run with Dallas in the playoffs.
That happened?
Seth Curry's a starter on this team.
That trade happened? That was real?
It's insane.
And we got Danny Green expiring money for Al Horford?
Like,
how did that happen?
Oh, well, I mean, Al Horford just got the 16th overall pick, so let's not.
Yeah.
Let's not. Well, let's not.
And eating his money that go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm burying the lead here, yeah. But no, I mean, that offseason and the trades really set them up for success, and Danny Green was a guy that I didn't really think. I don't want to say anything much of, but like you're seeing the impact.
Yeah, they're missing him big time.
Of
that's
him,
for sure.
That veteran presence that he added.
So we want to talk to you, and oh yeah, we have something kind of big going on here this morning. We were granted Game 7 tickets to give away for tonight's game. It's an email link, so it's very easy. You don't have to drive here to the station. We can get it to you. And we were thinking, you know, we were going back and forth all day yesterday, and what kind of giveaways we could do, yada,
finally,
yada,
we just decided to keep the tickets.
Yeah, Pat and I are going to the game.
You're going.
First round on me. A Dr. Pepper and an IPA, sir. So we went back and forth all day, and we kind of wanted to do something based on our hatred of Trae Young. John Collins has become very unlikable to me, too. Trae Young pushing Joel the other night as Joel was doing the classic, I'm walking into you, but my arms are out move. Trae Young was also pushing him. And he's just, you know,
that was adorable.
Yeah, he just plays with no honor. I hate watching him play. I think it's a cheap style of play. He's not alone, certainly. James Harden does it. Chris Paul does it. You know, a lot of great players do it. But I hate watching it. And Trae Young has skyrocketed to the top of my Philly sports hate kind of list. And we don't want to go back like prior to 2000. We want to keep it these last 20 years. But Pat and I basically went back and forth yesterday and fine-tuned each other's hate list. I wanted his top 10 Philadelphia hates, I gave mine. And then we cross-sectioned, debated about three or four of them, and came up with our final list of 10. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a great player. It could just be somebody's face that you hated. Like we talked about Aaron Baines, for example, from the Celtics. He didn't end up making our list, but even when he left the Celtics, the hate stayed with him. Like, he just kind of grew to hate his face.
Oh, God, yeah. I still see that guy, and I can see him hitting threes.
Yeah, like corner threes. Like, he was like a 23% three-point shooter, and then he played the Sixers and became like a 45% corner three shooter. And you're like, what the hell, Aaron Baines? Get out of here. So we finalized our list of 10, and the giveaway is going to be simple. We're going to incorporate it on social media some and pick two people from there. But there's 10 spots up for grabs today. All you have to do is guess our Philadelphia sports hate list. Doesn't necessarily have to be a great player. Great players tend to get hated on. Doesn't necessarily have to be an athlete. It could be somebody in a front office. It could be, you know, football, hockey, basketball, and baseball. We have our list of 10. You guess one of those 10, and you got a spot in the drawing for the tickets. We're going to take two from social media using hashtag... What was it?
Send me to seven. Yeah, so Dylan McKinnon, the D-Train, our producer, is going to put out a tweet if he hasn't already. I haven't checked Twitter.
He's probably going to get inundated with phone calls now that we just
probably
offered up the tickets.
So he's going to put a tweet out asking for your 10, your personal 10, and then you're going to quote tweet that tweet with your 10. Use hashtag send me to seven. We'll pick two people on Twitter because we realize that people can't, you know, always
not
just call in.
Call, yeah.
So send us your 10. We're interested in everybody else's. And then use hashtag send me to seven. We'll pick two random people. So there's 12 total people that
so you have
a
one
chance.
In 12 shot if you qualify today. It's a game 7 in Philadelphia. I've never been to one. I can't imagine what that building's going to be like tonight. It's going to be freaking awesome. So we're trying to keep this 2000 to current. We don't want to go back into the 90s yeah, and 80s.
Don't be
and
giving 70s. Us Leon Stickle.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need
Danny Ainge.
Yeah, Hatchcock sideburns from the 1912 athletics or something. So just
Hatchcock sideburns?
Yeah, I don't know. How about you, Sideburns? You want some of this milk?
I think Hippo Vaughn was the more hated player.
Old Hippo. So we're trying to keep this current last 20 years. It's simple. I want to know from you tonight. The Sixers win Game 7 if... And then we want to hear your sports hate for Philadelphia. Let the hate flow through you. We have a good list of 10. I like our list.
I think my list was 37 that we had to whittle down.
I knew this would be a wheelhouse of yours because you let the hate flow through you.
I'm hating people that you're sitting there going, who the hell's that guy? And I'm like, well, he had an at bat one time in 2006. And it really pissed me off.
Yeah, you know their backstories of like growing up and why you hate them. I outsourced to my cousin Tim, my buddies VG and Brian Hicks last night. So I think we have, I hope we didn't miss any obvious ones. We put a lot of thought into this hate. So it's easy. It's there for the taking today. We have freaking Game 7 tickets. You should want them. It's a Game 7 here in Philadelphia on Father's Day. I can't freaking wait. He's Pat Egan in with me today. We got Dylan McKinnon running the board. I'm Jamie Lynch. We're going to be until noon today, and then we'll hand it over to Rob Motti. This weekend's programming is brought to you by McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Attention HVAC or plumbing installers with 3+ years experience. McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is hiring. Ask about the $5,000 signing bonus when you call 610-649-8080. Thank you for them. Game 7 tickets are on the line. We're going to be talking about Game 7 all day. This is a rarity in Philadelphia, Game 7. So let's enjoy it. Positive thoughts only. None of that negative crap today. Hopefully Ben Simmons awakens, and this isn't even a game tonight. He's Pat Egan. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 9:22.
Weekends on the Fanatic. Jamie Lynch and Andrew Salchunas. Sports never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Well, so, Pat and I at least had sex one time. Happy Game 7 day. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who is your daddy?
My dad retired now. He actually texted me and said, I'll take the tickets to game. And I'm like, what do you think this is, Father's Day? I'm not giving you the tickets.
Yeah, my cousin,
get out of here, old man.
My cousin yesterday was like, I could just take those tickets. And I was like, I bet you could. And I could just get fired. So no.
Get out of here.
These are for the people. Yeah. Get lost. Scram.
Guy grounded me when I was 12 years old for some stupid reason. You're not getting these tickets. It's payback time.
So happy Father's Day to all out there today. He's Pat Egan, who you hear with me Monday through Friday on the John Kincaid Show. I'm Jamie Lynch. Hopefully you're not sick of me by now. I will be at Rivers Casino tonight with Tyrone Johnson for the game on the beautiful 56-foot LED screen. So if you want to come out, we'll be doing prize giveaways at the end of each quarter.
That screen is huge.
It's awesome.
You can see it from 95.
it's a good,
massive.
And they have really comfy chairs in that spot.
They do. That's
they kind of
that
rock.
Was something that I was impressed with.
Yeah.
So we were there.
USB chargers.
We were there for a playoff. We were there for the Wentz-Seattle playoff game.
Okay.
They lost.
Yeah. That was a fun
and
one.
Obviously the game sucked. He was out of the game quickly. They kind of had no shot. And he looked out, and there was a guy who you could tell had been there for just about all day, and he had fallen asleep. That's how comfy the chairs were.
The chairs are comfy. So in front of me, I have a list of Game Sevens in Philadelphia history. Obviously, I'm not going to take you back to 1931 when the Athletics lost Game 7 in the World Series to the Cardinals 2-4. We don't need to rehash that pain, Pat. You know, I know you are were really moved by that game.
Connie Mack blew that series, and everyone knows it.
Connie Mack, his grandson, is a family friend of ours.
Of course he is. I mean, yeah. You're the Lynches of Delaware County. Does that surprise anybody?
Shout out to Mike.
Yeah,
Holden,
you're going on vacation with Jeff Bezos in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly right. But the most recent Game 7 losses. So tonight, obviously, to be determined, the previous Game 7, September 5th, 2020, Flyers-Islanders.
That game wasn't close.
And that sucked.
That game was not close.
4-0. It was a bloodbath. Matthew Barzal probably could have been added to as a hate because he's good and fast. And
yeah, I don't hate him.
No, I know. I like his style.
Yeah, it's hard to hate.
Islanders are good at hockey.
They are. That Barry, they were my pick. They were. I had a futures bet on them.
Nice. What were the odds on that?
I don't know. It was like $20 to win like $385. I think they
nice.
Were.
Nice.
Whatever it was. And I'll eventually hedge.
Yeah. I wish you all the best of luck there, Pat.
Thank you. That's going to my Jack's college fund.
The previous one before that, unfortunately, was the Raptors quadruple bounce, 92-90, Kawhi Leonard. The robot hits the corner three over the perfect defense from Simmons and Embiid. And my wife actually was going through pictures of our daughter recently and found the picture of me down on my knees in our living room with my hands on my head. You could like, you remember when Lisa Simpson, Ralph Wiggum's heart breaks?
Yeah.
And Bart's rewinding it and it's like, look, you can actually see his heart break.
Yeah.
That photo is like my literal heart getting ripped out of my chest.
So,
and the Sixers lost
that night. You're a Game of Thrones fan, right?
Yeah.
That night was the Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah.
It was a big episode for the series, if you're not aware. And I think it was the final season too. So this was coming, the culmination of everything. And I was pumped for that show. I was really excited for it.
Obviously,
game seven regular season. But I was watching it with my wife and
my wife.
I just kept watching the Kawhi shot for an hour,
it was
and
pain.
I kept mumbling to myself. It went up and down and up, and finally she said, "Like you gotta
shut up.
You gotta shut up about it." But I couldn't. It was an amazing shot.
Yeah. The one previous to that, April 30th, 2014, Flyers Conference Quarterfinals versus the Rangers.
I was in the building for that,
and a 2-1 loss.
The only
Rangers.
Good thing about that game was as we were exiting, Flyers and Rangers fans, because Rangers were going on to play Pittsburgh. And all of us in unison were chanting, "Crosby sucks." So it was kind of the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That's cool.
That game was crap because Dan Carcillo scored, for Christ's sake.
Car bomb. The one previous for that to make it the fourth loss in a row was the Sixers on May 26, 2012. Conference semifinals. Lost at the Celtics, 75-85, final score. 75 points in a playoff game. Oof.
Yeah, and
equally woof that 85 won a playoff game, but that's painful.
Yeah, and Howard Raymer ended up losing his life that night in Uncut Gems.
Oh, R.I.P. That's right.
R.I.P. to Howard Raymer.
Yeah.
Had a hell of a bet. And
I forgot that was the game.
People. Yeah.
Wow.
For everyone who hasn't seen the movie, sorry, I just... I ruined it for you. I literally realized that as you said it. Yeah, that's my bad. At this point, it's been out for 2 years, so get on it. But
it's kind of past the period.
Sure, I'll get tweets about that.
Previous three Game 7s in Philadelphia were wins. Flyers, Flyers, Flyers. Sabres, Bruins, and Capitals. The Capitals game in 2008 went to overtime. So they're 3-4 in their last seven Game 7s. So there you have it. Let's hope... They're 4-4 after tonight, and we're hosting an Eastern Conference Finals game this week, because that sounds damn good. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Phil. What's up, Phil? How you doing, buddy?
Jamie, Pat, happy Father's Day to all first.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the same to everybody out there.
I need everybody to do something for me. I need you to step out of the tea books for a second, if that's what you're into. I need you to put down the fishing rod. I need you to put down the Inquirer. And I need everyone to listen very carefully. To quote Dan Devine from Rudy, nobody, and I mean nobody, comes into our house and pushes us around.
Let's hope.
I hope
they had that mindset.
I hope Ben Simmons was listening to you right now because, I think he's got to answer a call. Joel Embiid probably needs to be a little better than he was on Friday night. It's hard to rely on a Curry and a Maxey to carry you. Tobias, it was good to see him snap out of his funk a little bit. I hope they answer that call, and I hope they have that pride. Game 7 as a much better team, a 6.5-point favorite at home. You shouldn't lose this game. You absolutely should not. So I hope they're paying attention.
They need to have that mindset.
I have a U-Haul in my driveway right now. I'm driving to Brooklyn, and I'm collecting all of those Game 2 from the Net series a few years back about the Where's Ben on the back of the milk box posters. And then I'm driving to the Wells Fargo Center, and I'm incorporating all my friends around there tailgating, and we're going to hand those posters out, and we're going to make sure that Ben feels that same way, if you recall the way he was shot out of the cannon in Game 2 of that series.
Yeah.
That's the Ben that we need. That's what we need.
Yeah. I just want to see him. I want to see him moving at full pace all game long. I don't want to see him stop moving, stop being aggressive, stop pushing the ball. Phil, take a guess. We got 9 guys left on the list. Who do you have on Pat and mine combined Philadelphia sports hate list?
Sidney Crosby.
I
can't believe that wasn't one of the first couple names.
Dylan's going to get your information. You're officially in the running. I'm shocked it wasn't the first guest, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody more universally hated in this town than Sidney Crosby.
It's the goals he scores, too.
Well, he's great, and then he's got that little rat face, and then he cross-checks in the ribs away from the play and just does those little weasel dirt moves that you just kind of hate, and then he's the ultimate, oh, I'll fight you, but wait for my 5 teammates to get in front of me. And
I got into it with the Penguins writer from The Athletic about Crosby, because Brandon Dubinsky, who plays for Columbus, said he was a dirty player. And the writer for The Athletic said, oh, well, you know, this narrative is going on, but actually he's not. And I,
okay, bud.
I quote tweeted and said, so the player who plays against him is wrong, but the writer who comes to him got it. And of course he responded and quote tweeted it. And I had like a bunch of Penguins fans in my mentions.
Nice.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
But he's hateable for a reason.
Yeah, for
sure.
He's
really good, but he also, you want to talk about playing with no honor? I mean,
and he's a huge state, opposite side of the state rival, and he's just very hateable.
He's got cups and gold medals.
Yeah, and he's great.
Talent.
And
stupid face.
Hate his face.
Don't like, anyway, yeah, he's on the list.
Yeah, let's go to Chris and Ridley. What's up, Chris?
I'm kind of hurt because I had Sidney Crosby.
Well, you still have time, Chris, as we talk a little Sixers here.
But, yeah, I got, I think it's going to be Tobias. We need a good game from Tobias.
We do. And it was nice to see him snap out a little
bit. Yeah, he was engaged in game 6.
I need another one of those. I think we know what Ben's going to give us by now.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
I think it's Tobias is the guy.
I can tell you're scrambling because Sidney Crosby got taken out.
I got one.
What do you got?
It's a long shot. Danny Ainge.
Ding, ding,
wow.
Now, wow, that is a great recovery there, Chris.
We're going to get some heat because we said from 2000, but we're talking Danny Ainge, the GM.
Chris, congratulations. Dylan's going to grab your information and make sure you're one of the 12 people in the running for Game 7 tickets. Yes, it is not Danny Ainge, the player, although if you listen to Bob Cooney and Anthony and people that really lived those Celtics-Sixers series back in the day, everybody hated Ainge. We're talking about Danny Ainge, the GM, the guy that fleeced Big Collars Colangelo in the Markel Fultz trade. Hate him. I hate his.
I love the fact
glowing
that
praise from everybody in the NBA. When frankly he squandered their booty up there. They're in a bad spot. I think he's not bad, but overrated as a GM.
That's my problem with him.
His face, his weaselly little face. I hate how athletic he was. Got drafted in baseball and basketball. I just really hated Danny Ainge, and we both had him on our list, and he has been removed. So if you're just joining us this morning, thanks to Trey Young and John Collins for inspiring us. Trey Young is probably in my top 10 of just hate the face, hate how good he is, hate all of it, and it inspired us. So Pat and I came up with our list of 10. And if you guess one of the 10, you're in the running for Game 7 tickets tonight. So far removed from the board. I would say Danny Ainge was one of the outside-the-box ones I was concerned about. But so great job there by Chris and Ridley. The other two I thought were layups, and that's Chipper Jones and Sidney Crosby. Now, seven names remain. You can also get involved via social media. If you check the station account, we have the way you can enter in there. Basically, it's hashtag send me to seven. Send us a list with your hates. Hate, hate, hate. Every time I say hate, I just think of Ice-T in Chappelle's show. Hate, 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 hate. So send me to seven hashtag. The instructions are on there.
You got
to
quote tweet it.
Yeah, we will share. We will pick two people from random drawing there to be entered in. And somebody's going to game seven tonight. I cannot wait. What are you going to do for the game? You're going to be in the post here for the post game show.
Yep.
Second half in studio.
I'll be talking about a win.
Are you watch at home and then?
Yeah, I live really close, so I'll.
Finish the game at home.
I'll finish
and
the game
leave.
At home and then drive in and discuss a win with the people.
Yeah, I certainly. And then are you going to sleep here for 2 hours? Or
no,
you gonna
I live close. I'll sleep for a couple hours and come back in. And
yeah, all right. It's very admirable.
Bright eyed and bushy tailed.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about working hard in this industry is you're required to tell everybody how hard you work.
Yeah, no one cares. Work harder.
I'm kidding. Everybody hates that. Jake and Cherry Hill is up next. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Pat. How you doing?
Good, buddy. We'll be a lot better tomorrow morning, hopefully.
Yeah. I unfortunately was at the game Wednesday night, so I had to go through that. Yeah, it was awesome.
My brother-in-law was in the upper section, and he said that was the worst sporting event he's ever seen.
Has to be for me. I was at the Phillies-Cardinals when they lost.
Oh, jeez, man.
I was up there. Yeah.
Jake, I don't think we can send you to game seven.
I mean, Jamie, you just hit on it. Embiid didn't have a great game the other night.
No.
And that makes me excited for tonight. I think
yep.
he comes back all over the place. You know, I think he puts up a 30 spot. I'm not even going to mention Ben. I mean, it is what it is. We're
yeah.
not going to be able to win with him. But Embiid, Tobias had a fine game last the other night. So I really think this is going to be, and you saw last night, the battle of the MVPs. So I think this is really Joe's time to really say, I'm the best player on the court. And he's going to shut everyone down. And if Trae Young, again, you know, if he scores 30, but on 34 shots or whatever
yeah,
it was, we're going to win
that.
The game.
Absolutely.
I'm not worried about that.
Absolutely. And you're right. I think Joel had, you know, kind of a weird game. His two second halves before that, I think he shot 3 of 21 from the field. So you kind of haven't gotten the real dominant Embiid now for a little bit. And I think game 7 at home, how much he feeds into that crowd and that atmosphere tonight, and that place is going to be absolutely bonkers. I think he's going to come out and have a great game, Jake. I really do.
Totally agree. And then just a quick update, -7, that was the same line it was Wednesday. I thought it was the lock of all locks, but
it should have been.
We're winning by 15.
All right, Jake, there's seven names remaining on our list. Take a stab.
You know, I'm surprised this wasn't guessed, and I'm a little worried that it wasn't guessed. I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Oh, it's a good one.
I got to be honest. I'm relieved that he didn't get it. I mean, this guy's been at the two biggest collapses in Philly sports. Jake seems like a great guy, and I'm sure he donates to good charities and has a dog and a fan. I don't know if I for the betterment of the city, I think he needs to stay away.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
If they
he was on my initial list.
If they hadn't beat him in the Super Bowl,
yeah.
he would 100% be number one on my list. But because they beat him in the Super Bowl, my hate for Brady dissipated.
Yeah.
And he's the greatest to ever
yeah.
do it, so I kind of respect that, though they probably fudged some rules up there in New England.
It's 1,000% the fact that
yeah.
they beat him.
Yeah. yeah.
But I had him on the list.
Yeah, I'm sorry he wasn't on our list. It's a good guess,
but
we move on.
Real quick, before we go back to the phones, do you want to hear the stat line from the last time they were in a Game 7 against the Raptors and what Ben did?
All right, fine.
It's not bad.
Okay.
But I think this might give you an idea of maybe what you get. It's kind of a typical Ben night. It's 13 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, but nobody played well. So Joel Embiid went for 21-11.
13-8-5.
Yeah, that's from Ben. 21-11 from Joe. And here's the difference.
What did he shoot from the field? Do you have the box score there?
Yeah, he 33% from the field.
I thought he had a
bad night. So it was kind of a bad night for everybody. Tobias Harris had 15 points, 10 rebounds.
What was Kawhi that game?
I don't even want to look at it.
But I feel like he had an average night too.
Kawhi was 41 points. He had an average night.
41? I don't remember that.
Here's,
you know what? I remember saying, yeah, like, holy hell, that guy was Jordan-esque.
So this gives you an idea, though, the depth that the Sixers have now compared to back then.
Oh, their bench.
Ennis got 14 minutes. They were Mike Scott got 10.
They were playing Greg Monroe.
Greg Monroe got a solid minute and 41 run. But that's it. That was their team. It was James Ennis, Mike Scott, Greg Monroe.
Holy hell.
And that is it. And the rest of their bench was Jonah Bolden, Amir Johnson.
Oh, my God. TJ McConnell got D-not played.
I still can't believe that on that last possession they didn't put Boban in to just guard the inbounds pass.
Yeah.
He was so huge.
By the way, my cousin's wife, Sandy Shoecraft and Justin Shoecraft.
What do you say, Shandy?
Congratulations. Just had a baby girl the other day.
Oh, happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day one. Somebody got her she's a huge Sixers fan. Somebody got her a Boban cameo, and it's a minute of Boban congratulating her on becoming a new mother.
That's
and
amazing.
It is awesome. He's like, I have two kids. The kids are great. he's like fixing his hair in it. He's just adorable Boban.
You know, I know this country gets a lot of heat sometimes. You got to love a country where you can just pay a celebrity to, like, just the capitalist factor we'll just pay a celebrity.
Boban. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's impossible not to like.
If we were doing a most loved list, he might be number one in all our hearts.
It was funny. You know, the famous gif of Leonardo DiCaprio
him.
Yeah, where he's pointing.
Yeah.
That was me when I went to go see John Wick, the third John Wick, and Boban pops up, and I'm like, I know him!
Boban! Josh in Phoenixville is up next. What's up, Josh?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much. Applicable to you if as well.
You can't even talk.
Happy Father's Day. It's Game 7 Day. I can't talk.
It is. I understand. It's big. My key is Doc Rivers, though, guys. He has been taking heat the last couple of years for blowing the 3-1. He was fired up. I mean, I was fired up. When I saw him go out and shake Embiid's hand, like do a low five to Embiid, he said, I told you, but we're not done. I mean, this guy, he's ready to come out there. He's going to throw some double teams on Trey. He's going to limit those. I think he's going to limit those pick and rolls. I don't know. I'm feeling good about Doc.
Yeah,
about
you, it's a huge game for him. He obviously has a bad reputation monkey on his back to get off his shoulders. As a 7-point home favorite in a game 7, you absolutely can't blow that. I think even after game 5 in the heartbreak, I was listening to Doc in the post game, and he's like, we'll be back here for game 7. He sounded confident. I think he knows they're the better team. He just has to make all the right moves tonight. And Josh, not playing the bench unit a lot might be one of those moves he has to go, because if your starters aren't playing 40-plus tonight, I think that's an issue.
Yeah, you're right. And guys, if you remember, I think it was game 5, the closeout game against the Wizards, what he did to Beal in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He threw out some double teams there. They neutralized him. I know he's not the ball handler Trey is, but just doing things like that. He's like the previous caller said, he's going to get his 30. We can live with that, but I don't want to see, Collins and Capella hanging from the rafters, dunking all day.
Yeah. All right, Josh, take a stab. There's 7 guys on the list remaining. Who you got?
Eli Manning.
Oh.
Wait, what is wrong with you, Jamie? I'll tell you right now, Josh, one of us had him on the list. And someone's over here with his Ole Miss jersey. His Cotton Bowl Ole Miss jersey with number 10.
We dominated Eli. He gave us hilarious Eli face memes. So, what was there to hate?
Josh, I tried, if you're still listening, I tried to plead the case that I hated Eli, and it wasn't the fact that they dominated him, right?
They dominated him.
Every once in a while, though, you get that Eli game where you're like, crap, man, like, what is going on? Because they're supposed to dominate this guy. It was the fact that he had 2 Super Bowls, he's going to the Hall of Fame, and I never once was terrified of him, and he had a hate the face, and he annoyed me.
I hear your points, I just felt like the Eagles dominated
him. And you're wrong.
And I didn't hate him.
And you're wrong.
He gave us hilarious, like, oops, I just made a mess in my pants faces.
You keep saying, let the hate flow through you, and I'm trying. Like, take your own advice, man.
I mean, our list is pretty good. Sorry, Romo and Eli, I never really hated. I don't know what to tell you.
I think you just made Josh's hate list.
Go Giants, go Cowboys, right?
You're the biggest Giants Cowboy. You have one of those split jerseys where it's half Cowboys, half Giants?
It just says Man Momo or something. It's a combination of the two. I'm sorry I didn't hate him. I don't know. We dominated Eli. I liked how scared he got coming into Philadelphia on blackout nights.
What was it like getting your Eli cameo for the first time?
He's kind of a funny Twitter follow, too.
Yes, that's a problem. You didn't follow him. Come on. annoying. He sucks.
He's harmless.
He just
got that like dumb football guy face. I'm a Super Bowl MVP two-time.
It's funny when people talk about him and they're like, I just don't think he realized the moment. I really don't think he realized the moment.
He's
too dumb.
Completely agree. All right, there's seven names on the list. We have an hour and a half to get these seven names guessed. We're gonna start buzzing through because there's some big ones out there that nobody's taken yet. You know, a couple baseball guys, a basketball guy or two remaining. Looks like we have one hockey guy remaining. There's some good names out there. I'm sorry, Tony Romo and Eli weren't one of them. They're pretty good guesses, but I just never felt the hate like I do for Trey Young. He's Pat Egan. We got Dylan McKinnon in producing. Hour and a half left before we hand it over to Rob Motti. Time at the Fanatic is 10:22.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.